Appendix D, rehearsals. This appendix will provide rehearsal guidelines for SHORAD commanders and leaders. The information focuses on preparing them to plan for, prepare, and conduct effective rehearsals for their own units, regardless of echelon and with supported elements. For additional information on rehearsals, see FM60. Introduction. Each rehearsal type achieves a different result and has a specific place in the preparation timeline. The first step in rehearsal planning is to determine the type rehearsal the unit will use to practice the operation prior to execution. Regardless of the type of rehearsal used, most successful ones share common rehearsal practices. The following are some of the best practices commanders and leaders can use to guide their rehearsal planning and rehearsal execution evaluation. The commander or leader establishes a standard for a successful rehearsal. Commanders and leaders emphasize critical actions and key events that trigger friendly actions. Rehearsal occurs near or on terrain similar to the actual operation terrain. Rehearsal occurs under the same conditions, for example, weather and time of day, as expected during the operation. Rehearsals identify problem areas, contingency actions, and enhance coordination. Rehearsals include all information from the operations overlay, including known and suspected enemy positions, airspace coordinating measures, and names of key terrain features. Rehearsals use the decision support matrix and the decision support template as guides. Critical actions in an operation are practiced. Rehearsals must be planned, prepared, and executed. The planning section of this appendix addresses rehearsal planning considerations and recommended responsibilities for ensuring effective rehearsals. The rehearsal preparation section presents checklists that focus on the responsibilities of the commander, executive officer, and staff to make rehearsal execution run smoothly. The execution section identifies commander and staff responsibilities and SHORAD rehearsal step-by-step actions. Rehearsal types. Each rehearsal type achieves a different result and has a specific place in the preparation timeline. There are four types of rehearsals: the back brief, combined arms rehearsal, support rehearsal, and the battle drill or SOP rehearsal. Back brief. A back brief is a briefing by subordinates to the commander to review how subordinates intend to accomplish their mission. It is used in conjunction with other rehearsals to ensure the operation and rehearsal standards are met. A subordinate briefs the commander or leader on what the subordinate's orders are and what the subordinate is supposed to do and why. This briefing allows commanders to clarify the commander's intent early in subordinate planning and identify any problems in the concept of operations. Commanders and leaders should conduct back briefs with subordinates at the following critical times: immediately after the op order has been issued to ensure the mission, intent, and tasks to subordinate units are understood; after the subordinates have formulated their concept of the operation, but before the subordinate op orders are issued. This is to ensure the subordinates' plans are consistent with the commander's intent and mission. SHORAD commanders and leaders may not have the luxury of face-to-face back briefs. Commanders and leaders may have to use other communications means, such as the radio, to get their back briefs. Subsequent back briefs are especially difficult to have face-to-face due to the physical dispersion and commitment of the various commanders. The SHORAD battalion is especially limited in the ability to gather battery commanders. Combined arms rehearsal. A combined arms rehearsal is a rehearsal in which subordinate units synchronize their plans with each other. A higher unit's headquarters normally executes a combined arms rehearsal after subordinate units issue their op ord. This rehearsal type helps ensure that subordinate commanders' plans achieve the higher commander's intent. When SHORAD commanders choose to conduct a combined arms rehearsal with their subordinate unit, they must select one or a combination of the available rehearsal methods and focus on the effective execution of the operation. Support rehearsal. A support rehearsal helps synchronize each warfighting function with the overall picture. Throughout preparation, units conduct support rehearsals within the framework of a single or limited number of warfighting functions. SHORAD commanders participate in the supported unit's rehearsal and must maximize the time they have during this rehearsal. Support rehearsals and combined arms rehearsals complement preparations for the operation. The following is an example of a sequence the air defender could use during a rehearsal. Point out enemy air avenues of approach, possible aerial enemy targets, landing zones and drop zones in the unit's area, and the expected aerial platform that the unit may face. Address actions on air attack during the rehearsal's particular critical action or actions. Point out the locations of ADA assets, fire units, sensors, and ADA command posts. Address any synchronization issues necessary to get SHORAD assets in the right place at the right time. Address actions taken to mitigate or defeat air attacks during the rehearsal's particular critical action or actions. Address combined arms for air defense. Disseminate the early warning plan, emphasizing the need to rebroadcast early warning over the supported unit command nets. Battle drill or standard operating procedure rehearsal. Battle drill or SOP rehearsal is a collective action rapidly executed without a deliberate decision-making process. A battle drill or SOP rehearsal ensures that all participants understand a technique or a specific set of procedures. SHORAD commanders can identify one or more specific procedures and/or techniques they consider critical or essential for the success of the operation. Methods of rehearsal. There are several methods for executing rehearsals. The first step in rehearsal planning is to determine the rehearsal method the unit will use to practice the operation prior to execution. Each successive method takes more time and more resources. Each method also imparts a different level of understanding to participants. Network rehearsal. The network rehearsal is less desirable because the personal interaction is not possible. The network rehearsal does have advantages, however. It can be conducted at any time, and it can verify a unit's communications capabilities. If used, the network rehearsal must focus on the critical actions in an operation. Lengthy transmissions should be avoided, and alternate frequencies should be used to avoid compromising the unit and the operation. All participants must have reliable communications, op-ord, overlays, maps, and must understand the rehearsal sequence. The network rehearsal depends heavily on SOPs that establish procedures for network rehearsal execution. Network rehearsals can be executed over wide area networks or local area networks. Commanders and staffs execute network rehearsals by talking through critical portions of the operation over communications networks in a sequence the commander establishes. The organization rehearses only the critical parts of the operation. These rehearsals require all information systems needed to execute that portion of the operation. All participants require working information systems and a copy of the op-ord and overlays. Command posts can rehearse battle tracking during network rehearsals. The network rehearsal will probably be used more at the SHORAD battalion than other rehearsal techniques. The distances between batteries and the battery's supported unit planning and rehearsal responsibilities will consume the time necessary to conduct more time-intensive rehearsals at the battalion level. The forward area air defense C2 system will depend heavily on network rehearsals to verify communication systems are operational and let fire units acknowledge receipt of early warning information. SHORAD commanders should consider using the network rehearsal to augment other rehearsals or involve more participants. Map rehearsal. A map rehearsal is normally the easiest technique to set up since it requires only maps and graphics for current operations. However, it is time-consuming. The map rehearsal has many variations. The most common is to use a large-scale map and operations overlay laid on a table with the participants seated around the map. Markers, such as cardboard cutouts, self-sticking notepads, are used to track each unit as it moves and each event as it occurs. Participants are responsible for representing their scheme of maneuver with the markers. This method requires the least terrain of all rehearsals. An optimal site overlooks the terrain where the unit will execute the operations. Sketch map rehearsal. This method uses a large-scale sketch map of the operations overlay and key terrain features. The sketch is used in the same manner as the map. A technique is to draw this sketch on the side of a tracked vehicle. Yet another option is to move to an area overlooking the operations terrain and have the participants use their own maps and overlays to follow the rehearsal. This technique has the added advantage of familiarizing the participants to the terrain. The sketch map technique is one of the two most commonly used rehearsal techniques. The other is the map rehearsal. The procedures for this rehearsal are the same as for a terrain model rehearsal, except the commander uses a sketch map in place of a terrain model. Sketch map rehearsals take less time than terrain model rehearsals, but more time than map rehearsals. Digital terrain model rehearsal. Digital terrain models are virtual representations of the AO. The time it takes to create the digital three-dimension model depends on the amount of available data on the terrain being modeled. An accurately constructed terrain model helps subordinate leaders visualize the commander's intent and concept of operations. This type of rehearsal is best suited to small units, such as SHORAD batteries and platoons. However, with a suitable local area network, a wider audience can view the graphics. Terrain model rehearsal. The terrain model rehearsal takes less time and fewer resources than a full dress or reduced force rehearsal. Like the digital terrain model, an accurately constructed model helps subordinate leaders visualize the commander's intent and concept of operations. When possible, place the terrain model where it overlooks the actual terrain of the AO. However, if the situation requires more security, place the terrain model on a reverse slope within walking distance of a point overlooking the AO. The model's orientation coincides with that of the terrain. Integrating air defense information into a supported unit's terrain model is critical, ensuring the enemy air avenues of approach, possible enemy aerial targets, potential landing zones, and weapons engagement ranges are depicted as crucial to ensuring all participants understand the enemy air capabilities. Key leader rehearsals. A key leader rehearsal involves only key leaders of the organization and its subordinate units. Terrain requirements can be the same as for a full dress rehearsal, even though there are fewer participants. The commander decides the level of leader involvement. The selected leaders then rehearse the plan while traversing the actual or similar terrain. This technique is useful to rehearse fire control orders and rules of engagement for an engagement area during defensive operations. A key leader rehearsal may be used to prepare key leaders for a full dress rehearsal. SHORAD battalion and batteries use this type of rehearsal rather than a full dress rehearsal, as distances between batteries, platoons, and fire units likely preclude the gathering of all soldiers and systems other than at home station, or as the first rehearsal when time and resources are available. However, SHORAD units will participate in their supported assets' full dress and key leader rehearsals and need to ensure all aspects of air defense are considered and integrated into these rehearsals. Full dress rehearsal. A full dress rehearsal produces the most detailed understanding of the operation. Every soldier and system is involved in a rehearsal over terrain and weather conditions, at least similar to that expected in the operation. A full dress rehearsal helps soldiers clearly understand what commanders expect of them. Full dress rehearsals consume more time than any other rehearsal method. For batteries and platoons, full dress rehearsals most effectively ensure all units in the operation understand their roles. However, as noted above, SHORAD battalions generally do not conduct full dress rehearsals given the distances between subordinate units, though the battalion, batteries, and platoons will participate in their supported assets' full dress rehearsals. Other rehearsals. Each unit should plan rehearsals for the soldiers to practice techniques and procedures associated with mission essential requirements. The following rehearsals apply to combat operations tasks. Operations Center drills. Combat requirements should be anticipated and rehearsed in the form of Operations Center and Command Post drills. The shift officer in charge is the rehearsal director. Examples of these battle drills include the Op Ord, Warn Ord, and Fragmentary Order Receipt and Dissemination, Casualty Evacuation, and Resupply. Engagement drills. SHORAD fire units and sensors should rehearse their engagement drills in their assigned position or in terrain similar to their expected position. This allows them to adapt their operations to the existing conditions. Movement. SHORAD fire units and sensors should rehearse the movement techniques they expect to use in an operation. These rehearsals will occur with supported units as well to synchronize all the moving pieces in an operation. These rehearsals are especially useful in breaching and obstacle crossing operations. Rehearsal planning. Rehearsal planning is crucial in every operation. A hasty rehearsal is less effective than a deliberately planned and resourced rehearsal. Rehearsal time allotment must be considered up front. The SHORAD commander or leader decides which type of rehearsal to prepare for based on the planning and timeline work completed during the planning process. The most effective rehearsals are those that are planned from the receipt of the first Warn Ord until rehearsal execution. Timelines are the most effective tool to aid in allocating time for events. When considering the total amount of time available and the 1/3-2/3 rule, 1/3 of the time allocated to the higher headquarters and 2/3 to subordinate organizations, the rehearsal planner can determine the type of rehearsal the unit can afford to perform. In order for rehearsals to be mutually beneficial, the SHORAD leader should plan a rehearsal window that allows subordinates enough time to develop their own plans. Commanders and executive officers plan rehearsals. They address rehearsal planning consideration and identify responsibilities for ensuring effective rehearsals. Commanders provide certain information as part of the commander's guidance during the initial mission analysis. They may revise the following information when they select a course of action. Type of rehearsal and rehearsal method. Key events to rehearse, prioritized, and the time allocated for each event. Location and attendees. Enemy courses of action to be portrayed. The executive officer ensures all rehearsals are included in the organization's timeline. The executive officer's responsibilities include publishing the rehearsal time and location in the operation or WARNORD, conducting any staff rehearsals, determining rehearsal products based on type, method, and mission variable. Rehearsal preparation. Once the decision has been made on the type of rehearsal and when and where it will occur, preparation begins. Everyone involved in executing or supporting the rehearsal has responsibilities during preparation. Commanders provide the requisite guidance for the rehearsal. They identify and prioritize key events, allocate time for each event, and review the completeness of unit's organization, readiness of personnel and equipment, and the unit's level of preparation. The executive officer is the rehearsal director. Through wargaming and coordination with the commander, the executive officer coordinates and allocates time for key events requiring rehearsal, establishes rehearsal time limits per the commander's guidance and mission variables, verifies rehearsal site preparation, appropriate markings, and associated training aids and parking areas, determines the method for controlling the rehearsal and ensuring its logical flow. The headquarters staff conducting the rehearsals develop an operation order with the necessary overlays, deconflict all subordinate unit graphics, publish composite overlays of the rehearsal, nominate a recorder. Subordinate leaders complete their planning. This planning includes complete unit operation orders, identify issues derived from the higher headquarters operation order, provide a copy of their unit operation order with graphics to the higher headquarters, perform personal preparation similar to that of the commander, ensure they and their subordinates bring all necessary equipment. Preparatory actions vary for each rehearsal method. The following example depicts those actions required during a terrain model rehearsal. When the commander chooses the terrain model technique, the site must be prepared to replicate the operations graphic and fire control measures and terrain features. To aid the preparation, the operations center should maintain a terrain model and sand table kit. The size of the terrain model or the time available may necessitate using additional personnel for preparation. The size of the terrain model can vary from a tabletop arrangement, sandbox, to a model where the participants actually review a scaled-down version of the terrain. A terrain model large enough to allow the key leaders to walk over a scaled-down version of the terrain helps participants to visualize the battlefield. The first step in creating an accurate terrain model is to prescribe the scale. This is easily accomplished by walking off several steps per kilometer or using some other form of measurement. For example, if the zone of attack is 10 kilometers by 6 kilometers, the builder of the terrain model could assign one step per kilometer and walk off the scale of the terrain model. The second step is to lay down selected grid lines based on the tactical map. With the grid lines established, the builder has a handy reference to measure the size and locations of the terrain features. This simple step greatly increases the accuracy of the terrain model and ensures that the terrain features are the proper scale. The terrain model should depict all required information shown on the operations overlay and situation map to include key terrain features, enemy positions, known and suspected, and airspace coordinating measures. Place an arrow on the terrain map to depict north for orientation. Label all phase lines, numbered hills, and objectives with their appropriate names. The terrain should mirror the operations and enemy overlays and include the air portion of the IPB. Once the terrain model is complete, position a map and operations overlay behind or at the side of the model as a point of reference. Rehearsal execution. During the rehearsal execution, the commander, executive officer, subordinate leaders, recorder, and staff from the conducting headquarters have specific responsibilities before, during and after a rehearsal. Before a rehearsal, the rehearsal director states the commander's expectations and orients the participants on the details of the rehearsal. During the rehearsal, participants rehearse their roles to ensure that they understand how their actions impact an operation. After a rehearsal, participants ensure that they understand any changes to the operation order and to any coordination required. Commanders command the rehearsal just as they command an operation. They maintain the focus and level of intensity, allowing no potential for confusion by subordinates. An effective rehearsal validates the synchronization, the what, when, and where, of tasks that subordinate units will perform to execute the operation and achieve the commander's intent. The executive officer, as the rehearsal director, ensures each unit accomplishes its tasks at the right time and cues the commander to upcoming decisions. The executive officer's script is the execution matrix and the decision support template. The executive officer, as the rehearsal director, starts the rehearsal time, initiates a formal roll call, ensures everyone brings the necessary equipment, including organizational graphics and previously issued orders. Validates the task organization. Link-ups must be complete or on schedule, and personnel and material must be on hand. Ensures synchronization of the operational framework being used. Synchronizes the timing and contribution of each participant. Ensures that the most important events receive the most attention. Keeps within time constraints. The operations officer, S3, portraits the friendly scheme of maneuver. Ensures subordinate unit actions comply with the commander's intent. The intelligence officer, S2, portrays the enemy forces and other variables of the operational environment during rehearsals. The S2 bases actions on the enemy course of action that the commander selected during the planning process. The S2 provides participants with current intelligence assessments, portrays the best possible assessment of the enemy course of action, communicates the enemy's presumed concept of operation, desired effects, and end state, explains other factors of the operational environment that may hinder or complicate friendly actions, communicates the key civil considerations of the operation. The logistics officer, S4, presents the logistics support concept, identifies critical sustainment shortfalls, communicates the transportation support identified for supply distribution and other sustainment actions. Subordinate leaders, using an established format, effectively brief their units' actions and responsibilities, as well as record changes on their copies of the graphics or operation order. The recorder is normally a representative from the S3. During the rehearsal, the recorder captures all coordination made during execution and notes any unresolved problems. At the end of the rehearsal, the recorder presents any unresolved problems for resolution, restates any changes directed by the commander, and estimates when a fragmentary order codifying the changes will follow. The rehearsal director frees the commander to command and participate rather than run a rehearsal. While the SHORAD battalion conducts its rehearsal, the SHORAD battery and platoons should also rehearse with their leaders and with the supported unit. Final changes are made to the execution matrix following rehearsals, and warnords are issued to reflect any necessary changes. The following example outlines a step-by-step process for conducting a rehearsal. Step 1. Start at the appointed time and conduct a formal roll call. Ensure everyone brings binoculars, maps, and necessary equipment. Step 2. Ensure the rehearsal director orients the map, sketch map, or terrain model to the actual ground. Generally describe and point out the overall AO and explain the markers used on the terrain model. Step 3. Brief the timeline. Designate the rehearsal start time. For example, have the rehearsal begin by depicting the anticipated situation 1 hour before leaving the line of departure. Set the time interval to be used to start and track the rehearsal. In effect, specify a 10-minute interval to equate to 1 hour of real time during operation. Step 4. Highlight the ground rules and incorporate ground rules into the unit SOP. Include who controls the rehearsal, who actually walks the terrain, how the rehearsal will be controlled, and when staff officers brief. Step 5. The S3, or executive officer at battery level, reads the mission statement, the commander reads the commander's intent, and the S3, or executive officer, lays out the friendly situation as it currently exists using the map, sketch map, or terrain model. Step 6, the S2, or executive officer at battery level, briefs the current enemy situation. The S2 then briefs the most likely enemy course of action. The enemy situation should already be set up on the map or terrain model. The S2 also briefs the status of the reconnaissance and surveillance plan, for example, citing the most recent early warning tracks. Step 7, the S3, or executive officer at battery level, briefs friendly maneuver unit dispositions at the rehearsal start time, including sensor positions. Other staff officers brief their subordinate unit positions at the start time, as well as any particular points of emphasis. Step 8, the commander gives appropriate commands. Battery commanders and/or platoon leaders tell when they occupy positions and anticipate an air attack. The executive officer talks for any staff section not present and ensures all actions listed on the synchronization matrix or decision support template are addressed at the proper time or event. Avoid re-wargaming, except as absolutely necessary, to ensure subordinate unit commanders fully understand the plan. If the staff has developed an order that addresses contingencies, there is little need to re-wargame the operation at the rehearsal site. Step 9. The S2, or executive officer at the battery level, portrays the enemy. The S2 section describes the enemy's most likely and most dangerous courses of action. Situation template. Pointing out enemy air avenues of approach, possible aerial targets, landing and drop zones in the unit's area, reconnaissance routes, objectives, security force composition and locations, probable main force objectives, likely chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear attack times and locations, and the commitment of reserves. The S2 must be specific by tying enemy actions to specific terrain or friendly unit actions. The walkthrough should be an accurate portrayal of an event template. Step 10. Terminate the first phase of the rehearsal after the desired end state, from the commander's intent, is achieved. In the defense, this is usually after the decisive action, such as destruction of the air threat or withdrawal of the enemy. Step 11. When it becomes obvious that additional coordination is required to ensure success of the operation, try to immediately accomplish it. This coordination is one of the key points of the rehearsal. Make sure it is clearly understood by all participants and captured by the recorder, and all changes to the published operation order are in effect. As soon as possible, the S3, or executive officer at the battery level, should collect the verbal fragmentary orders and incorporate as written changes to the operation order. Step 12, after the initial review of the base order, recheck the situation at the initial decision point. State the criteria for a decision to change the plan. Step 13, go to the next decision point and ensure that the criteria have been met. Repeat step 12. Repeat step 13 for all decision points. Step 14, key sustainment items need to be briefed, including the plans for casualty evacuation, routes, ambulance exchange point locations, refuel on the move, Class 4 and 5 resupply points, forward logistics bases, planned locations and effective times, logistics release points, displacement times and locations for support areas, and prisoner of war collection points. These items should be integrated into the rehearsal at the appropriate times. Summarizing these actions at the end of the rehearsal adds to the value of the rehearsal as a coordination tool. Step 15. After the rehearsal is complete, the recorder should restate any changes, coordination, or clarifications directed by the commander, and estimate the time that a written fragmentary or operation order to codify the changes will be issued. Step 16. The commander should stress any points needing additional emphasis. The commander should consider reiterating the commander's intent, purpose, method, and end state to remind all participants that the goal is to accomplish the mission. By order of the Secretary of the Army, James C. McConville, General, United States Army, Chief of Staff. Official, signed, Mark F. Avril, Administrative Assistant to the Secretary of the Army.